Good morning. It is 9:02, and I call this meeting to order. Carrie, can you please take roll?
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Vice Chair Downs. Regent Arriscada.
There.
Regent Batista.
Here.
Regent Boylan. Regent Brager.
Here.
Regent Brooks. Regent Brown.
Present.
Regent Del Carlo.
Here.
Regent Fernandez.
Present.
Regent Goicoechea.
Here.
Regent Goodman.
Here.
Regent McGrath.
Here.
You have a quorum present.
Thank you. I will now ask Regent Fernandez to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washo, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Next, we will go to public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 933-5568-7402 and passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is.
Thank you. Please state and spell your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning, David Sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N, Faculty Senate Chair at Great Basin College. I'm going to get off topic just for a teeny little bit, but this is my last opportunity to address this board. We'll be switching chairs out here in the next couple of weeks. I did want to mention, however, slightly on topic, because you are picking a campus president, possibly today, and I wanted to just mention how important that is and how important it was to our campus the last time you made that decision, and the great effect that it's have here and the great effect that your decision possibly today is going to have. Our Faculty Senate has forwarded a letter of support of our president to the chancellor. She's going through her annual evaluation at the moment. I'll save you the entire letter. It's going to be in the packet, and you can see it there. But I'd just like to emphasize the last paragraph that we've written. And it says, "It is with complete confidence and pride that we recommend Dr. Dinelli for permanent appointment as president of Great Basin College. We are eager to continue working under her leadership as we transform lives through education across rural Nevada. Been a wonderful working relationship so far, and we would like to continue that as best as we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment at GBC, I'll now go to the system office in Las Vegas.
There isn't any.
Thank you very much. Seeing none, I will go to public comment here at TMCC.
Good morning, Regents. My name is Ginger Doe, J-I-N-G-E-R-D-O-E. For the record, I am the current Faculty Senate Chair at Truckee Meadows Community College. I have had dozens of academic and administrative faculty and senators from across all campuses reach out to me. They have a clear preference for Dr. Jeffrey Alexander to be the next president of TMCC. Dr. Alexander has led with integrity and started numerous initiatives, including leading the way in OER, as well as the credit for prior learning spaces. As you make your final decision today, please keep the voices of TMCC faculty in mind, and thank you very much for your time.
Uh,
Joseph Sanpietro, for the record, S-A-N-P-I-E-T-R-O. Good morning, Regents. It's kind of nerves being up here in front of you, but I think the time has come to, you know, be able to tell you what the TMCC family thinks. And we want to thank you for taking the time to do a national search, to bring the best candidates forward, and to put us in a position where we will have strong leadership. But we also want to make sure that the advisory committee was heard. I wasn't able to be on the advisory committee because I was the one tallying the votes for one of those groups. And it would have been a conflict of interest for me to throw my name in on something I was counting, right? But going in and watching the forums, watching the interviews, it's clear that there are two candidates that TMCC wants you to consider the most. My personal preference is for Dr. Jeffrey Alexander because he's been battle-tested at TMCC, because he brought credit for prior learning, and then that's a model that the board and the other areas of NCHE are taking a look at and they're going to integrate because of the OER initiatives and putting students' needs first. I really think that you guys are doing the best that you can. I want to thank everyone for a transparent process. But in the end, I'd like you to remember that the advisory committee made of TMCC stakeholders and community members have pushed two names as their preference, and that really does need to be taken a look at. I want to thank you for your time. I want to wish you the best in your deliberations, and just thank you for being here, because this is a great place to be.
Hello, Regents. My name is Emery Betre, E-M-A-R-I-E-B-E-T-T-E-R-E. And I wanted to talk about the end of yesterday's meeting. As the saying goes, we all make mistakes, but I couldn't help but think our Regents have been here for some time now, and the mistakes yesterday were amateur. It was disappointing, to say the least. I also wanted to comment on Regent Susan Berger's comment on this is why you don't do tallies. If anyone had watched or was present yesterday, at yesterday's meeting, there wasn't a need for one, and it was clear. And I couldn't help but feel a little bit frustrated because you cannot say we were heard and then consider options entirely outside from what was said, because what exactly was even heard? It's frustrating to have been here on behalf of the students, and I can't even guarantee that their thoughts and opinions will be considered because of situations such as this. You cannot be students first if you can't even consider one student's opinion. And this is exactly why we didn't have students here yesterday at our other committee meetings or more students at the forums. And we even have students that aren't even aware that this is happening because we have regents that don't listen to our voices. I understand that in the end that the boards decide, but if that's the case, please don't ask us for our opinion and make us believe that it matters. With all this being said, I hope moving forward we can start to listen to our students, and with committees like this, listen to our highly qualified and caring members. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Regents. Thank you so much for your time and your effort in this process. I am Ann Flesher, F-L-E-S-H-E-R. I am the Dean of the Computer, Math, and Physical Sciences Division here at TMCC, and I am grateful to be one of Dr. Alexander's direct reports. I've had the opportunity to work very closely with him, and in my over 20 years now at TMCC, I can honestly say that he is one of the best administrators we've been fortunate to have. In his relatively short time here, and I want to emphasize that he is a finalist in his relatively short time here, that Dr. Alexander, as noted by my colleague Ginger Doe, has advanced numerous initiatives. He has forged countless relationships, both on campus and within the community, and worked across multiple divisions throughout the college. A historian by discipline, he is an excellent communicator and exceptionally well prepared for this position. He is TMCC. The reason I emphasize short time is because he has great potential. We have only seen what he can do in the time that he has been here with us right now. We have already seen metrics move in a positive direction because of his collaborative efforts, and I believe in him. When he says he'll get something done, he'll get it done. We've been incredibly fortunate to have a finalist who not only has the experience of our current VPA role, but also demonstrates the characteristic and leadership and qualities we need. He is a tireless worker. He is kind and thoughtful, respectful, deeply committed to shared governance and integrity. Dr. Alexander has already made an impact at TMCC, and he is just getting started. He has the vision and the greatest potential to move TMCC forward. And thank you.
Seeing no other public comment here at TMCC, SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
Yes, Madam Chair. Caller with the phone number ending in 4044, please state and spell your name for the record. You have 2 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good morning, Chair Carvalho and members of the Board of Regents. My name is Nancy Bruni, B-R-U-N-E. I currently serve on the Las Vegas City Council, but I'm here in my personal capacity. I'm here today to express my support for Clarissa Cota being named the president of TMCC. I've had the distinct pleasure of working with Clarissa for more than a decade. I initially came to know Clarissa when I assumed the role as the inaugural chair of the CSN Institutional Advisory Council. She deeply understands the role of our community colleges and the many responsibilities they are tasked to execute and the many interests they are asked to serve. Clarissa has been deeply involved with workforce development at CSN. She was active in getting our Westside Education Training Center up and running and funded. She has experience with the heavy responsibility of fundraising, program development and oversight, and the development of curricula that effectively serve the needs of employers. Clarissa is a problem solver. Whenever she's presented with a hiccup or barrier, she quickly pivots or finds ways to solve the problem. Clarissa is an established bridge builder and has established deep ties with other NCHE institutions, CCSD businesses, and nonprofit organizations. In short, she has been an incredible ambassador and public face of the institution she currently serves. I have no doubt she will bring that to TMCC. More importantly, she is beloved by students, faculty, and staff. There is no question that Clarissa is and always has been laser focused on the well-being of students and student outcomes. And if you've ever seen her work a room, her energy and charisma are magnetic. She is a natural leader who will serve TMCC well. This recommendation is somewhat bittersweet, as I know that TMCC's gain is Southern Nevada's loss. But I'm comfortable offering my unqualified support because I know without a doubt that the entire state of Nevada, particularly our students, will be well served by Clarissa Cota leading TMCC. Thank you.
Next caller with the phone number ending in 6622. Please press star 6 to unmute. State and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board.
Good morning, Regents. This is Frank Woodbeck, W-O-O-D-B-E-C-K. I'm retired from CSN, but previously Executive Director of Government Affairs and Special Projects, and also overseeing the Office of Sponsored Projects. I'm calling to enthusiastically endorse and support the candidacy of Dr. Clarissa Cota. I spoke to the committee yesterday morning in public comment, so I wanted to address the full board this morning. I've known and worked closely with Clarissa for my entire tenure in higher education at the system office and at CSN. And Clarissa is an outstanding administrator and has been focused on the goals of CSN students being achieved and on our workforce development needs for the region. She's attuned to the economic development goals and trends of the cities and towns we serve as an institution and seeks collaborative ways to incorporate the services of CSN into the needs of our communities, urban and rural. I'd be happy to see her in the presidency at TMCC. I'd hate to lose her in Southern Nevada, but I would be honored to support her work in any way I effectively can. Thank you so much.
Okay, next caller with the phone number ending in 7513. Please press star 6 to unmute. State and spell your last name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board.
Good morning, board. My name is Patrick Villa, V-I-L-L-A. I'm a math professor at CSN and a former faculty senate chair. I was first going to try to break the news to Regent Del Carlo that there's white smoke, but I could tell on camera it looks like you already saw the news. But regardless, back to the main reason I'm calling here. I got to watch all five of these interviews yesterday, and I will say the three finalists were excellent in their interviews, and all three would be great. I'm not going to endorse a single person. I'm going to let you, the board, figure it out. I do have one suggestion. As someone well-versed and experienced in Robert's Rules of Order, one flaw that I've noticed could occur today, and that's that a motion can be called at any time. And this could happen before the board is fully informed of the decision they're about to make, before they've had a full discussion. I'm just hoping that with three candidates, you have a full discussion on all three before anybody prematurely calls a motion for a single one. I've seen that when you have three options, let's say A, B, and C, motion can be brought forward on candidate A. When it comes time to vote, if somebody likes B or C but aren't necessarily against A, there's uncertainty on how to vote. You know, somebody could say, I like candidate C, but I don't feel right voting against A. Sometimes they're unsure. They don't know what to do. I saw that firsthand with CCSD down here in Las Vegas one time where they had a vote last year, bunch of candidates, and they just kept going, and there was no discussion, and all of a sudden the vote was done, and you could see the looks on their faces. They didn't know exactly what they did, and it was too late. So for the good of all the students at TMCC and pretty much Nevada, please consider having a full discussion on all three before anyone makes a premature, haphazard motion. Make the right decision, not a quick one. A majority is what we want. Even unanimous, obviously, is best, but don't settle for a plurality. Be smart. My last suggestion is maybe whittle this down to two by officially removing one of the three. Then you can all focus on the two. That way the vote will be clear
and clean. Thank you. Your time is up.
Best of luck. Thank you.
Caller with the phone number ending in 8436. Please press star 6 to unmute. State and spell your last name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the board.
Good morning. My name is Brandy Davis. That's B-R-A-N-D-I-E-D-A-V-I-S. I'm a classified staff member at TMCC. I'm calling in today to vocalize my support for Dr. Kyle Dalpy as president of TMCC. Dr. Dalpy brings a wealth of higher ed leadership experience, knowledge, and numerous professional, industry, and community connections from Northern Nevada. He's led countless proven successes, not only at TMCC, but for WNC and NSHE as well. He listens and partners with administration, faculty, and students to come up with outside-of-the-box ideas that lift education in our region to the elevation we all know and love. Having worked with him during his tenure at TMCC, I can absolutely verify that he is a servant leader and has always put the institution first by supporting everyone who makes TMCC the amazing place we can all call ours. He has vision and is someone I am excited to work for once more. I promised myself I wouldn't beg during public comment, but I will ask very nicely. Please select him for TMCC's next president. He is a priceless asset to any institution he works for and will lead TMCC into an uncertain future. Thank you.
That's all the callers we have at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We'll now move to item number 2, appointment for the president of Truckee Meadows Community College. Before I turn it over to Committee Chair Del Carlo, I do need to make a disclosure that pursuant to NRS 281A.420, I am disclosing that my husband is a part-time employee at CSN in an area that Vice President Cota oversees. They do not work together on a daily basis, and VP Cota does not directly supervise him. I believe that the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my situation would not be materially affected by the information presented in this agenda item. Therefore, I will be voting in this matter. And with that, I will turn it over to Regent Del Carlo, Committee Chair Del Carlo, to give opening remarks and to start us off in the process.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Carvalho. And I said this yesterday. This committee brought forward five outstanding candidates. They really did. Any one of them would be an asset here at TMCC. And I also said we have advisory members as a part of our shared governance. And the advisory members certainly give their opinion, but I have to say when I've read every public comment out there. The tallies were made just because two people were equal or whatever. I mean, there's things the advisory members just don't know that we know, and this is our process. We have you help. We want to give you the best person who we think is the best fit. And in my experience, I've never seen three candidates go forward. I don't know if we have a flaw in our system. I feel like the five members that are on the advisory board, it's their responsibility to bring a candidate forward. So I'm not quite sure what happened there. But today, the way it's going to work, we've got two questions for each candidate. And they will have how much time, Amy?
5 minutes.
5 minutes per question. And there'll be no other questions asked. Is that correct? No. That's from the direction of our chair, which is her purview as the chair of the board to make those rules. And then it is I agree with one of the callers just now that we should have a discussion first before someone just throws out a motion. Let's have a robust discussion. That is our job. We are to find the best fit, the person that's got the best strengths, all the things that we're supposed to do. And I have said this publicly before too. This is the most important job we do as regents, is picking our presidents. We don't, I'll speak for myself, I don't take it lightly. It's a heck of a lot of work. Even reading people that weren't the search chair, just reading the five CVs is a lot to really read and investigate. I know I always personally go online and look at LinkedIn. I look at Facebook to see if I can see anything else on some of the people. And I do a little bit more homework myself. And having been in the community college space, I am the chair-elect of the Association of Community College Trustees, that I have connections all over the country now with this role, and I am able to pick up the phone and call colleagues about candidates, and, you know, sometimes I know things that others maybe don't know. And I mean, that's my advantage, being active as a trustee in this national organization. So I would hope at whatever happens today, and I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea what's going to happen today. I know that we take the open meeting law very seriously. I want our legal counsel to know that. There is no preset decision, and there never was. And I did get a few accusations that the fix was in. And I'm going to say whoever said that to me or wrote it to me, I did not appreciate that. To me, it besmirched my integrity. I have a lot of integrity. And whoever this president is that gets elected today by this board, we as a board will give that person our full support, and we expect every faculty member, staff member, student to also stand behind and support your new president. And with that, I think it's time to bring in our first candidate. Good morning, Dr. Delpy, and you're welcome to either sit there or stand at the podium, your choice. And are you ready? Okay, and there's going to be two questions. You have the questions, I believe, in front of you, correct?
I do.
Okay.
And I see the timer, and it's at 5.
It's so at 5, so there's 5 minutes per question. There won't be any other follow-up questions, and
okay.
Both questions were prepared by the ACC CERT consultants. Okay. So with that, I will read the first question. Please describe for us an administrative initiative that you developed that empowered others, encouraged innovation, improved morale, or promoted a climate of inclusiveness.
So thank you for the question. And I'd like to thank this committee and all the spectators. I'd also like to throw a shout out to the Wildcat family, my home campus that has been very sweet to me and my family and friends being supportive for me in this process. So many of you may not know, I actually went through a national search for the president at Western Nevada College, and I did not get that position. And then I was in a national search for VP at that institution, and I did get that position. And that's when I walked into that institution, Western Nevada College, and started building trust, started building relationships to the point where they recommended me for an interim presidency. And I appreciate the extra innings on this particular search. This is still easier than 365 days in an interim role where every day is an interview and you wonder if you're going to make it to the end of it. And I share that with you because it's that environment when I was an interim president that I had to make some tough decisions. I had to create an initiative that I will take a deep dive on our enrollment management that empowered, improved morale, and supported innovation. We had to reimagine how we did enrollment management. I could not sit by and watch our enrollment go down. This was not just about numbers. This was about every student who had chosen to come to us to be part of the institution. And enrollment management is not a function of one office. And I had to bring together the campus as a whole to talk about how we can change how we do things. And it was very deliberate, by design, that I chose a faculty member and an administrative member to lead this effort. And I wish, I look at how many faculty are involved in the process here. I always want more faculty involved because faculty come closest to the students in the classroom to deliver the educational product that we have developed. They know what's going on. They need to be part of that. And so that was by design, not just a gesture. This group looked at everything we did, the onboarding, the advising, the scheduling, and they found what they did. But what happened was, as we initiated this project, as we worked together as a team, we put people together who would go to the lunchroom and not sit at the same tables. They came together as a group, metaphorically speaking, as together on campus. They started to work together, and that built and shifted the morale and the culture of the institution. That created and empowered the people, the employees, the faculty, staff, and students to do their best work, to look out for the best interest of the mission, and to come together in a group. That built a new culture, improved our morale, and they found things that were obstacles. Everything from students can't get textbooks, to a pothole in the parking lot, to food insecurity. We did surveys. We unleashed a whole list of things that needed to be fixed. Things that we needed to look at and say, we need to do this better. And they came together as a group and they did that. Amazing things happened. All of it happened. And we built together a culture that is sustainable and going on right now. And I did that as a leader with the support of all of that campus. I led that group and we now have seen the benefits of it. I mentioned it yesterday. Enrollment increased 17% in 1 year. But also, we started an open educational resource project that provides textbooks to students in advance of them starting the class so that they can have the materials and not have to worry about getting them shipped in the mail. We created a food pantry that helped take a little bit of the worry about where you're going to find your next meal out of play. We created a housing reference list so they could find housing if they needed in the community, and of course, robust scholarships. Amazing things happened on our campus. And we did that all together, bringing that culture together, bringing that, boosting the morale that it lives on today. And that's something that I'm very proud of. And it is a distinct initiative that was led while I was interim president, continues on as president, that we did to support students. And as we go, do we have bumps in the road? We have bumps in the road. We will always have bumps in the road. But once the culture comes together and the morale and the support is there, the groups will come together and handle anything that comes up. We have handled quite a few things. The pandemic was in there, the economy right now, all of it. And so we will continue to be a family and tackle those things because of changing the morale and improving it. We were noted as the best college to work for, and we were commended on our accreditation report 6 weeks ago as a commendation for administration, strategic planning, and planning, which is the root of this enrollment project.
Thank you so much. So to question two. Please provide an example of how you've communicated the impact of your college's programs to the community and region.
So I appreciate this question, too. So this is a fun one. I know it's early in the morning. Everybody's just excited. I can feel it in the room. I'm sorry. WNC is a very different institution. We have 12,000 square miles. We work with six immediate school districts, six county governments, multiple cities, multiple employment partners, a couple of prisons, a naval air station. We have a number of constituent groups spread out. All of those stakeholders we have to communicate with on a regular basis. And we can use the traditional media methods. We can do billboards, which we have a few. We can do flyers. We can do the things that go on the windshield. We can do all that traditional. We can do the digital social media. But for us, what I call, when we talk about an example of how we communicate, our outcomes, our programs, all of that, for us, I call it the WNC Roadshow. We have to be face-to-face in the communities that we serve, talking to those leaders of each of those groups. Every one of those people, whether it's a county manager, whether it's the mayor, whether it's an employer, we have to get into those communities and talk to them boots on the ground, because that is how we build that respect and that trust. I have come out of institutions, two previous institutions ago. I was in a school that had three sites on either side of the Grand Canyon. That is a very different world. That is a spread out world. It's not an immediate place. And even here in Reno, where there's multiple campuses, every community, every campus has its own culture that grows up. And we need to be face to face. And so what I do is we put together the leap behind packets. We have the folders, we have the pens, we have the banners, all the great promo stuff. But I go and talk. My calendar is full with all of these meetings. Carson City School District, Douglas County School District, Douglas County Commission, Churchill County Commission. And as many times as I can, or one of my executive team, or one of my faculty, or one of my other staff can go and present face-to-face, that is how we tell our stories. And we don't just tell the stories of the numbers, 17% enrollment, workforce-prepared students, a new CDL program. We also bring students, but if we can find students in those communities that can come and speak for us, they'll be the ones who will come and talk and say the best, and they want to hear that from the local community members who have come to our school. Some of them proudly come in and say, I graduated from WNC. Others come in and proudly say, I graduated from WNCC, if you remember, because we used to be community in the word. We are still a community college. And they are very proud of those credentials, and they want to talk about their experiences. But it is definitely for us, I call it the roadshow. It's marketing at the ground level. We go and we tell our stories face-to-face with multiple groups all of the time. And regardless of how many times I do it, I still get the question, oh, there's a college in Carson City? Yes, there's a college in Carson City. We'll never get over that because we're not centrally located, similar to this campus up on the hill, great views and everything. But we have to be visible and talk. The other, if I can't bring students with me, we do video clips. We have them recorded. And then at the end, when all that is said and done, a lot of mileage gets put on our cars. We can consider ourselves half, of course, in a good way, road scholars, right? Because we're always driving from point A to point B. But then we invite those people, those groups, those stakeholders to our campuses. And we have events like our golf tournament, which is a scholarship golf tournament for students. And they become aware of what students need because they wonder, what does a nursing student do to prepare? Well, when they go to hole 16 on the golf course, guess who's there doing blood pressure checks, right? The nurses. When they go to another one, it's the EMT students. When they go to, it might be the business students. We have our scholarship event that we hold on campus. We ask the stakeholders to come because we can only do so many presentations out in the community, but we bring people to campus. And in our world, that is what makes the difference, because then that's one initiative, an example of how we produce it. We can do the economic impact studies, which we do. We can do the numbers, all of that, but telling the stories is what we do, and telling it directly to our stakeholders is what I have found to be one of the more effective ways to garner the support, to have people who to be able to understand what we do, to tell them that we are a community college, we do have CTE programs, to roll out our mobile lab in the parade or roll out to a community and say, we can train you here. And for us, it's face-to-face, on-the-ground relationships, trust that we have built with our communities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, and I think I exit.
You're in one door and out the other.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dr. Alexander. And just to go over a few things, you'll have two questions and 5 minutes per question. There will not be any follow-up questions from the board. And just let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, I am too. Okay, please describe to us an administrative initiative that you developed that empowered others, encouraged innovation, improved morale, or promoted a climate of inclusiveness. And I believe you have the questions in front of you, too. Oh, yeah, make sure you get the copy. And then when you start, the clock starts.
Thank you so much, Chair Del Carlo, Regents, and audience members. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. The administrative initiative that I'll describe today, I described to some of you yesterday, is our Credit for Prior Learning program, which is and was a big lift for a big team and a great effort that is benefiting students in many different programs. This actually hits all four of those metrics. It empowered others, it encouraged innovation, improved morale, and it promotes a climate of inclusiveness. So why Credit for Prior Learning? Why do we do this? Around this country, there are many, many hundreds of thousands of people with some college credit and no degree. We also have lots of people with workforce training and no degree. And these people cannot very often access higher ed, or they are unable to see themselves finishing higher ed because of the two things that we already know are the largest barriers to student completion, and they have not changed in probably forever. Every study that's done about this will find that it's time and money. Not enough time, not enough money. And if we can help students by getting them credit for the workforce certifications that they've already earned, and the job training and the job experience that they've already earned, this will get them closer to their goal more quickly. It will accelerate the timeline to completion. It will save them money, and they will be able to get into a job with a degree much, much sooner. And so for this, this was our motivation. I learned of this while I was the chair of the WICHE Alliance, which is the two-year alliance of WICHE, Western Interstate Commission on Higher Ed, 16-state Western Region group. This is the group of academic leaders at community colleges. And we gather yearly, and we have an annual meeting. And I learned about this where we share these best practices. This was 2.5 years ago. And I learned that Credit for Prior Learning was a big success at the Front Range College in Denver, Colorado. It was really exciting to learn about that, and they explained to us how and why they did it. It was designed for exactly the reasons I shared. In particular, a student came forward and said, you know, I'm a dancer. I've been dancing for a long time. I'd like to earn credit for that. I'd like you to perhaps give me credit for this Dance 100 class. They said, I'm sorry, we don't do that. We don't have a process for that. She said, well, you know, I've been a professional dancer for a long time. And they said, well, I'm sorry, we actually don't have a process for that. Everyone has to start somewhere. And then she said, well, I used to dance for the Bolshoi. And they said, well, I'm sorry, everyone has to start somewhere. And they realized when they said that, that this was absurd. And they had to change this practice. And they promptly did that. And when this dean presented this to us, we were really excited about that. I brought it home. I got to work with our team. And it was a big team, cross-functional, across the institution. We had the registrar. We had advising. We had IT. We had the webmaster. Together, we pitched in to build a process so that students could come forward and learn about it. And I formed a task force in the spirit of shared governance to bring this forward so that everyone in the community could take part. We had 20 volunteer members from faculty, administrative faculty. We had staff from all corners of the college. I had to divide it up into 4 different parts because it was such a big group. And I tasked them each with that same mission. How would you design this program from start to finish? How would it work? How would they find it, learn about it? Who would they talk to? What would it cost? How would you actually do the analysis and transcript the courses? And then they came back with fantastic suggestions. And it was very similar. In fact, all of their suggestions were quite similar, and they also had really unique ideas, too. We got together and agreed it should not be expensive. In fact, workforce certifications that you might have earned on the job, possibly you learned CompTIA programming or Cisco or Microsoft training. Maybe you got trained as a paramedic. That's a national curriculum. Why should these students have to do this all over again? We already have a model for this, and it's called articulated credit. Students in the high schools who take a welding class or an auto class can bring that credit to us up to 2 years later, and we will put it on a transcript. So if high school students can do it, why can't adult learners do this too? And so we got together and built that. We built out the website. We actually had it up and running in a soft launch by October. And this is one of your strategic priorities. It's in your strategic plan. It's something that you are expecting the institutions to develop. And, of course, Credit for Prior Learning has been around a long time in some forms, transfer credit, or credit by exam. But in this case, we're talking about the delivery of credit for workforce certification that you might have earned on the job or that you might have developed in a company. Possibly you were in a VP for sales and you can earn the credit for marketing or the business class and so forth. And so this empowered people. It encourages innovation on the part of faculty because they are enfranchised to teach and assess learning. If they can assess learning and our learning outcomes, why can't they assess the learning of others who have earned this training elsewhere? They can. By virtue of their training and their expertise, they absolutely can. And this, for morale, boosted student morale dramatically. What better place to find a morale increase but among the students who now are delighted that they can earn college credit for the training they've already received?
Thank you so much. Okay, question number 2. Please provide an example of how you've communicated the impact of your college's programs to the community and region.
Happily, thank you. I'm going to talk about our fire rescue training tower. This is a project that you're familiar with and that you approved very happily, unanimously, not long ago. This was my opportunity to take this to the community, and it began, actually, with a very frightening incident. It was last fall, September 7th, it was a Saturday, and people of Reno woke up to see a towering column of smoke over the city. It was miles high, and it was threatening the city. It was rushing up the ridge near the Galena Bridge, and it was threatening to get into the city. And people were rightly very, very afraid. They were evacuated. People were told to leave. Even our own campus down on the Mount Rose Highway was closed. We had to relocate operations. So did Galena High School. All of those neighborhoods, those HOAs on the south end of town and north of the Mount Rose Highway into the city proper. These neighborhoods were evacuated, and it was very frightening. Now, we have a program at the Redfield campus where we train in fire science and fire technology. These are collegiate programs. We have a fire academy where we train entry-level firefighters and a wildland fire training program, too. this is an arena where we have opportunity, and we have been talking now for years about building a fire training tower. This is where young firefighters who are just starting out can get into the building and learn how to use their apparatus, work in the dark, encounter a propane flame, and a simulated smoke in the form of water vapor. So we've been talking about this for some time, and we have a Redfield Advisory Committee group together with UNR and the Redfield Foundation, and there is where we have been studying this master plan for the Redfield campus to incorporate that new fire training tower and ultimately a regional fire training center. Naturally, the groups who were present, like UNR, said, you know, this is something you should bring to the community. You should bring this out to the community and make sure the community supports this, and I happily did so. And so I got to work, and I reached out to the Citizens Advisory Board of South Washoe County, which was South Reno and the Washoe Valley area, where, of course, this fire had happened. And the fire, of course, was fresh in their minds. I said, would you like us to come out and tell you about this? Can we be added to your agenda? And they said, yes, please. We would be very glad if you'd come out and talk about your fire training center. And so we did. We went out there. They added us to the March agenda. And we went out there, and they had not only us, but they had a fire captain from Truckee Meadows, and they also had a sheriff's deputy from Washoe County Sheriff's Office present, and they were already on the agenda. And the room at the community center and library was full. People were asking questions, and they were, of course, very, very nervous about the upcoming fire season. They were asking questions about, what do I do for fire mitigation? Are you going to send dumpsters again this year? Why did you cancel that program that was paying for all the fire mitigation? How do I get rid of this waste in my yard, and so forth? They were noticeably frightened. And the sheriff's deputy also received similar questions about traffic and road closures and highway closures and what do we do? How do we get out? And so naturally, I took the stage immediately after that, and the timing was right to talk about our program. And they were glad to hear of it. There were smiles on their faces, especially when they learned it's not going to raise their property taxes. They're going to be fine. And we are going to build that tower now with your blessing, and thank you for that, because we think it's essential to get those firefighters trained up and then to build on this wildland firefighting program, because we want to ensure that not only can we train for the city, but also the rurals and also neighboring states. Ultimately, we would like to see that become a conference center, a symposium center, where we can collaborate with others, because the Dixie Fire and the Caldor Complex Fire were just over the pass. Right, and that pollutes our air as well. So this is a regional issue and one that we want to support with a regional fire training center. So this was our mission, and we will continue to work at this mission. And when we went out there and I presented that, not only was that a relief to those people in that area, and they were very happy about it, they learned that we do have training capacity and space at the Carson City training facility. However, it's so booked up, we can barely get any time. Once we got bumped because they wanted to have a barbecue on a Sunday. Right? And so naturally, this wasn't a good fit for us, and we wanted to assure them that we are doing the work. And this was the work that we brought to them, and of course, this board supported it. It is your work. I was proud to be able to tell them about that program. That was really exciting, because these young people rush into danger, right, in order to save people. The Dixie Creek State Park manager, his home burned down in that fire, and he lost his pets, and that's really scary. So they rush into danger, they are leaders, and that's really exciting. There are different kinds of leaders, and I am the kind of leader who is a warrior. We did the academic impressions test for types of leadership. My leadership type is warrior. I will fight for this college, I will fight for this board and its goals. If I'm selected for this position, I will fight for our students and their success, and for our teams all across this institution, and I will fight for our workforce partners too. I believe in this community, and it deserves a fighter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Good morning, Clarissa, and just let me know when you're ready and I'll go over everything.
Absolutely. Well, good morning to everyone, and I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, you're going to be asked two questions by me, and you have 5 minutes to answer each, and you do have a copy of the questions in front of you, and there will be no follow-up questions.
Okay.
Okay? And with that, I will ask the first question.
Sure.
Please describe for us an administrative initiative that you developed that empowered others, encouraged innovation, improved morale, or promoted a climate of inclusiveness?
Thank you for that question, and good morning to everyone, Madam Chair. So in 2019, I became the vice president for the North Las Vegas campus, and I was charged to really increase the level of engagement and visibility of CSN within that region for the North Las Vegas, East Las Vegas, and Central Valley. And so I had deployed many strategies which proved to make a change on that campus. And after a few years, it was one of the top performers in the level of campus engagement and inclusiveness and overall increased morale. And one of those strategies was really creating the Small Business Entrepreneurship Development Division. And CSN had been the lead organization for a business incubator program called Nevada Grow. This was a state-funded program, and it started in 2015. But because of its success, it was eligible for a lot more grants that came its way. And then in 2023, the legislature supported the Nevada Grow program at $1.9 million. At that point, we had the insufficient funds to develop the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Division, was able to hire a director. And then at that point, the director went forward, and we had upwards of $8 million in funding to help small businesses. And in Nevada, 99% of our businesses are small business. So that created the ability to create a wide menu of services to really help small business owners, many of which are our own students. One particular program was the Blackstone Launchpad Initiative. This was a program that helped student entrepreneurs at our new entrepreneurship center, and it also was performing business pitch competitions, and we just had one. It's the best program ever. On May 1, we had the Side Hustle event. At the Side Hustle event, our students are able to put forth their business pitch. The chambers come out. We had the mayor there. Practically every major small business entity that's part of the ecosystem is there to support our students. So I would say that initiatives like that hit all of the marks. They empower thousands of entrepreneurs in the southern region. They're innovative, and they celebrate innovation. We've even been featured nationally by the National Association for Community College Entrepreneurship and all that we're doing. It improves morale, because if you've ever been around people who can innovate and create, it just boosts morale, and it's very inclusive. There's so many entities that come together to support small business ecosystem. The Nevada Grow program is meant to be a statewide program. And so I cannot think of a better place than TMCC to place it and extend the Nevada Grow program right here. TMCC serves just those populations that is needed most. And we've also been networking with UNR, because the cooperative extension is part a named partner within Nevada Grow. So that automatically would start to build a bridge in the ecosystem up here. And it also aligns to TMCC's strategic plan. TMCC emphasizes innovation in its mission and stated commitments. So again, when we're looking at why bring it up to TMCC, it's also very welcomed by the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce. I was able to have a conversation and just kind of got a sense from Ann Silver, the CEO from the Reno Chamber and Sparks Chamber. And she speaks so highly of TMCC and wants to engage further. So programs like this could be very innovative. And it also bridges between the North and the South and creates a tighter network. And so, as was pointed out by one of the search committee members, which I really did appreciate, that it was pointed out that as a candidate, it's perhaps that I could be uniquely qualified to create those bridges within our system. And I already have a track record of doing this because I have been I've been very honored to be leading the HSI task force, which reports to the chancellor and to the board, where all of our systems of higher education have come together to ensure that they all become HSIs, and what has resulted is over $30 million in funding that has come back to the state. And the HSI initiatives right now, the system is perfectly poised to form a consortium and start to go after large-scale grants as a system. So we are very well positioned, and it has been through partnership. And so as TMCC's president, if so selected, I would ensure that TMCC would be part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. So question two, please provide an example of how you've communicated the impact of your college's programs to the community and region.
Well, this is one of my favorite subjects. It's a workforce. And so right after the pandemic, Clark County was facing an unprecedented unemployment rate of close to 33%. And CSN at that time stepped up and started to engage in real intentional strategic conversations with entities such as GOED, the LVGEA, Workforce Connections, to really start to work together and first to identify which industries were going to be able to rebound. And then also look to see at CSN which workforce training tracks needed to be either developed or reformatted. So CSN stepped up, and a lot of credit goes to the academic arm and the non-credit arm, and we more than doubled our short-term, industry-aligned short-term certificates, helping people get back to work. But that information and that work can't stay siloed. And so it needs to be able to be communicated to all of the stakeholders so that they realize the place that a community college can have in the recovery. And so then I engaged in a comprehensive workforce strategy communication plan, and it started off by really packaging the types of initiatives that CSN had, which are very similar to what TMCC has, all of the pieces and parts. And so first, putting together presentations that are consumable to business and industry, where you start off and describe what the need is, talk about the industry sectors in need, talk about where the workforce gaps are present, and then showcase exactly what CSN is already producing. How many credentialed employees are we putting out with the credentials and they're ready to get back to work? Then you have to showcase how the entry points occur. How do individuals access these programs? So you can talk about CTE dual enrollment tracks and highlight those. You can talk about the non-credit to credit tracks and helping those even without a high school degree, such as HSE students, to take part in innovative programs such as Ability to Benefit, where they can be taking their GSE, the high school equivalency courses, right alongside credit-based courses in their workforce tracks. And then also you need to describe how displaced workers were going to be able to get back on track. And then you're going to need to illustrate what stackable credentials mean. I have noticed working with business and industry, sometimes the terminology can get kind of crossed. And so you need to be able to illustrate, what does that mean? What does one certificate that's a skilled certificate mean when it stacks into a certificate? How do those credentials keep continuing to add to the value of the skill sets of that individual? And then finally, we need to be highlighting high impact partnerships. So for CSN, we would be highlighting partnerships with Nevada Gold Mines and how they're supporting the Rancho High School students to be completing a diesel tech certificate by time of their high school graduation. Or we might be highlighting the Westside Education Training Center, which is a high-impact partnership with the city of Las Vegas. TMCC could be highlighting, as they do, the Tesla partnership with the apprenticeship program. And then finally, you want to be showcasing where, as a community college, you're going next, that you're already addressing the emerging industries. So, for example, we would be addressing the AI, the film industry, business and management, and then probably have a nice video presentation to really highlight the various labs and testimonials. And because from what I saw at TMCC, you have beautiful labs to feature and to highlight and elevate the brand. and then you need to take it on the road. You need to be strategic as to where you're going to be able to be presenting this information. And so in that case, you're going to be working with the school districts and the counselors to talk about the CTE pathways, the IAC, the GoEd boards. We partnered with the Vegas Chamber, and we were part of the Southern Nevada Forum in preparation for the legislative session. And then working with the LVGA and WIN board. And more importantly, we also participated in many regional summits and still do. Many times I am presenting alongside UNLV and NSU to present a regional front. And then it was presented at a national level. I even had the opportunity to present with Regent Brown and Chancellor Charlton at the ACCT conference. And this is exactly what I could do with TMCC, and this is the way that I work. This kind of information could be packaged together. Your marketing team already has some wonderful information. You package it and you work with the major stakeholders here to elevate the message of TMCC, and that is actually what I would be doing if selected as president of Truckee Meadows Community College.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you to Committee Chair Del Carlo for presenting those questions to each of the candidates. So at this time, I'll open up the floor to discussion from Regents. Regent Fernandez.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Chair. Yesterday we had a very lively discussion, and from my perspective, I first want to acknowledge that we do have really strong candidates before us. Dr. Dalby has, to his credit, really led his institution, and he has done some really great things. However, as having been in this committee yesterday and trying to hear from our community stakeholders, faculty, staff, the two names that kept coming forward were still Dr. Jeffrey Alexander and Vice President Cota. And what I mentioned yesterday, which I still believe today, especially after all the public comment, all these things, is that Vice President Cota really is an outstanding leader. She came here today very poised, and they all did. But, you know, this is a very nerve-wracking process, and I understand that, and I know that you all have been part of this, and I do appreciate this, but I still truly believe that she is somebody who can really connect the state further. We've already seen a really strong track record of her being able to do so. You know, we're hearing from people in local government, in the city of Las Vegas making a call, which, you know, it's a shock to me, and it's a when we think about her being a loss to Southern Nevada, I think it's a win for the whole state of Nevada. And I think that's really transformative to be able to have that level of support where you are loved in your community. But, you know, for me, I was elected to the role to not be one institution, not the region for one institution. I'm proudly the region for all institutions, and I see that as a win for the state. So I continue to show my strong support for Vice President Cota. I really I see strong leadership and a strong synergy within the campus and the work that her and Dr. Alexander could do together. I think that they will really bring this institution to the next level. And I really do hope that within the concept of shared governance, that depending on how things go today, that we all really rally behind. So at the end of the day, we really do want what's best and what's best for students, what's best for faculty, staff, and truly the state of Nevada. So I do hope that my colleagues and I will be able to vote on the right candidate to really lead. But for my vote, it is going to be Vice President Cota.
Thank you. Other regents who'd like to chime in?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Regent Arrascada.
The results of yesterday's meeting continue to reverberate today. There were strong emotions sent to us via email, on the telephone, and between one another. There was a lot of discussions. everything was heard, and we listened to each other. But also we're listening to the community. We're listening to Northern Nevada. I'm listening to Northern Nevada. I'm listening to the faculty of Truckee Meadows Community College, the faculty of Western Nevada College, and President Cota down at College of Southern Nevada. There are worthy candidates that all excel. But today, two candidates shined, Dr. Alexander and Dr. Dalpy. And they were head and shoulders above what they displayed yesterday. And it was a continuation of the brilliance that they had yesterday. Northern Nevada is a unique demographic. The topography, the geography, but also the community. Everyone can assimilate into a society, into an area, and build and work. But there's two individuals that have their feet on the ground in this community, Dr. Dalpy and Dr. Alexander. And for me, having a person in Northern Nevada that has the outreach of the community, that knows every part about Northern Nevada, the diversity, the economic growth, the potential here in the state of Nevada, currently reside in the Reno-Sparks-Carson City area. And for that, it's going to be a very tough decision between Dr. Alexander and Dr. Dalpy. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Regent Gokachia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm going to be very quiet, and because of those of you on the board that actually were involved yesterday in picking your brain, you know, clearly arm's length, you know, I am concerned about, you know, we've got a number of new presidents, some interims in place. We haven't got a lot of longevity. So I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe we better get the horses here in the barn and ride him a ways and see where we're at. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'll go to Regent Brown.
Thank you. Regent Brown, for the record. I'll echo my colleagues. I think we had three really great answers this morning. And but I have to keep going back to, and Regent Arascada, I have to go back to what you just said. And I have to fast forward, or I have to backtrack a couple months when we were picking our consultants. And one of the consultants lives in Las Vegas, and I believe it was you that said that that was a value add because they're from Nevada, and you didn't have a problem with them not being from Northern Nevada. So it's interesting to me that that's a comment that you want to make, especially because I think that we've really tried as a state to look at it as one Nevada and not have this division. I'll also give an example of Taylor Adams, who came in to replace Mike Kazmierski at EDON, and he has just crushed it. He wasn't from Northern Nevada, but much like the rest of the state and every part of the state, when there's good people, we open our arms and we really welcome them, and we, you know, embrace them and we support them. And so I think that those comments were, you're entitled to your opinion, and I like that we can joke and, you know, have good conversations. I do think that they're a little misguided. And I don't think you're giving our community enough credit for its ability to really embrace new, existing. I think we are, you know, a really good community, and the fibers, you know, the fabric of our community is really strong. And so, I don't agree with that assessment, and I will echo what Regent Fernandez said, and I think he said it more eloquently than I could ever. I think Dr. Cota continues to be, you know, a very strong candidate that I know could do the job, has, you know, a great vision, and her work in Southern Nevada is a testament to her abilities. And so I will also be moving forward with my support for Dr. Cota.
Thank you. I want to open it up to regents in the system office in the South if they would like to make any comments or yes, Regent McGrath.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chair Del Carlo. This has been very difficult, especially as a new regent. I know that Regent Fernandez said the same yesterday. It's taken a lot of thought and consideration. What has impressed me the most, including just public comment we've heard here this morning, is the support that Dr. Alexander has within the TMCC community. And I think that given where we are now, that is, for me, a tremendous, tremendous factor and leads me to support his candidacy. Just the comments I wrote down from this morning, battle-tested, great communicator, best administrator, that continuity is very attractive to me, and I think it will be more efficient to have him continue where he is in the larger role. And of course, the initiatives that he has spearheaded, you know, credit for prior learning, as we heard about today, and OER. So I just think it's important to have that continuity. That's the factor, and that public support, the support from within that community is what is affecting me the most in making this decision. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Regent McGrath. I'll continue to open the floor for others. Yes, Regent Prager.
Thank you very much. I guess where I'm going to come from is I do respect that we have an advisory committee. I do still stand by my statement that, and everybody is different, everybody chairs different, and I respect that also. I feel like for our future that I think we learned a lesson in doing the toweling the last couple of times, because then the advisory board feels like they were not valuable when they are valuable. We look at all options, we look at all candidates, we look at all comments that were made. And I think when we do that, we're ultimately the board that takes the responsibility and has to carry it forward. So when we make decisions, it's not because we have not listened. I don't believe that's true. And I think that we do have leadership at TMCC right now that I think is important. And I do think the board should look at succession. I'm not even saying it right. Yeah, I did say it right. Now and in the future, because it does bring, otherwise that person would not be there, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. If that person is not worthy, then they shouldn't even be in the position that they're in. And we did hear a lot of information about all three candidates. I think there are admirable candidates there. So that's really what I want to say is I think we are capable of making the decision. And then when we make those decisions, we need to stand by it. So does the campus and so does the community, because that's what makes a difference. Failure is not the person on campus alone. It's all of ours. So as long as we support whomever gets this position, they will be successful. And I think it's important that we just stand strong when we make our decisions and know that we appreciate input, but ultimately the buck stops with us. So if something doesn't go right, it's still our problem, no matter who wanted that person. So when you're ready for a motion, I would like to make one, but I want to make sure that everyone feels that they are heard.
Thank you, Regent Prager. I will give another opportunity for any regents who'd like to say anything. I don't see that anybody else has anything more to say, so if you'd like to make your motion, you may go ahead.
Okay, I'm not doing this lightly or possibly by the request of what's been out there, but I do feel like this is where I'd like to see us start. And I'd like to make a motion for Mr. Alexander. Dr. Alexander.
Thank you.
So Madam Chair, just to interrupt real quick, Special Counsel Chris Nielsen, I want to know if a motion would also include not just Dr. Alexander, but also to include the approval of the employment agreement and contract terms, if it would include that.
I would add that to my motion.
Thank you. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
I have a second from Regent Gokachia. Thank you, Regent Goodman. So at this time, is there any other discussion? Seeing none, I'll do a roll call vote. Carrie?
Regent Brown?
No.
Chair Carvalho?
Yes.
Regent Del Carlo?
No.
Vice Chair Downs is absent. Regent Fernandez?
No.
Regent Goicoechea?
Yes.
Regent Goodman?
Yes.
Regent McGrath?
Yes.
Regent Arriscada?
Yes.
Regent Batista?
Yes.
Regent Boylan is absent. Regent Brager?
Yes.
Regent Brooks?
Yes.
The motion passes.
I do have a question from Regent Del Carlo. Is that okay to do that, Counselor?
I'm sorry, Chair, okay to do what?
Well, I guess she should present her question to you first. I apologize.
My question is, at the College of Southern Nevada, we voted in the ad hoc committee, the five regents did, so the vote was 3-for-1 candidate, 1-for-another candidate, 1-for-another candidate, and the two regents that voted for the other candidate then came forward and said they'd like to change their vote to make the vote unanimous. And I'm asking how I do that, because I would like to do that at this point. I'd like to see this be unanimous. I mean, it's up to the other two regents that voted no if they want to do that. But I personally would like to do that.
I believe, and I'll double check with your chief of staff, but I believe the vote did conclude. So I think one option would be similar in many ways to the there could be someone could make a motion to reconsider, and it could be a revote. I'm not aware of any changing of the vote process per se.
Do you remember, anybody remember how we did it at CSN? Because I know we did it, because I know you were involved. Yeah. Do you remember? Carrie, do you guys remember? Well, then can I offer a vote of reconsideration?
This rule would require someone in the pool to reconsider previous motion, similar. So whoever was in the prevailing motion would have to make the motion for a motion for reconsideration.
Madam Chair.
I did want to make one comment. I hear what you're saying, Regent Del Carlo, and because of our rules, obviously that can get very messy. But I was going to invite Dr. Alexander to come in, and I think at that time you can let him know that he has your support, if that's okay.
No, I would really like to do this because we did it at CSN, and we didn't have a problem doing it. I mean, I have not spoken to Regent Brown, and I haven't spoken to Regent Fernandez. I don't know how they feel. I don't know if they want to change their vote, but I just think it would be a nice gesture. I mean, he obviously has the majority of the vote, and it's really nice to come in with a unanimous vote. I mean, sure. I said earlier, I support the will of this board and the vote, and I didn't make any public comments on purpose because I was so involved in this, and I'm happy. He's a great guy, I mean, but I think he deserves at least the opportunity to have a unanimous vote at this point.
And I appreciate your adamant request.
Yeah, Chair Carvalho, if I can just... Sure. I'll just reiterate. The one option I know, I'm not aware of any ability to change the current vote, but I do. Again, there's a way to someone who was in the prevailing party to make a motion for reconsideration of the previous motion. And if that motion is seconded and passed, then there would be a there could be a whole new revote. But other but short of that, I don't, I'm not aware of any other mechanism to just change the vote.
Mr. Nielsen, thank you. I believe that also Ms. King and Ms. Nikolajewski would like to add something to this as well.
Thank you, Chair. Linda King, for the record. Council Nielsen is correct, or maybe I should call you Dr. Nielsen. Council Nielsen's correct in that the vehicle would be a motion for reconsideration, and it needs to be someone who voted on the prevailing side of that motion. But what I want the board members to understand is that when you make a motion for reconsideration, the purpose of reconsideration is to actually reconsider your decision. It would reopen that motion to debate, to think again about the decision that the board made and whether or not any of the regents wish to change their opinion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify for the record, during the CSN search, there was one motion and one vote, and it was 11 in the affirmative and 2 absent.
Yes, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you for that clarification, Chief of Staff Nikolajewski. But I was talking about the day of the meeting when it was just the five regents that voted, because I know Regent or our Chair Carvalho was one of the ones that asked to come back and give the new president at CSN a unanimous vote. And I forget who the second one was, but
Chair Carvalho, again, I apologize for being the bad guy here, but for open meeting law purposes, we really can't shouldn't be discussing what occurred, you know, last month or any time previous. We have to kind of focus on today's agenda. And today's agenda, we just the regents just voted to approve a candidate. There is an option to reconsider that vote. I think we've collectively advised you, and so it's.
Yes, Regent Gogachia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having voted on the prevailing side, I move to reconsider the previous vote taken so that we can allow for a unanimous vote going forward. And I would make a motion that...
Right. So I have a motion from Regent Gogachia to reconsider the previous motion. Is there a second? Seeing none, that...
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Regent Brown. So we have a motion from Regent Gogachia to reconsider the previous motion and a second from Regent Brown. I guess it's appropriate to do a roll call vote for...
Yeah, and this type of motion, if you want to be technical, does allow for debate on the motion,
okay.
But I don't know if it's needed. I just offer that up.
Yes. Is there any discussion on this reconsideration? Regent Brooks? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think Regent Goodman and I were reaching for our mics and our buttons at the same moment. I don't know if we're in line with, I don't know if we're thinking alike or not this morning, but I really appreciate the motion made by Regent Gogachia. However, for me, I would really like to move forward with the decision that the board has made, regardless of who may have voted in opposition, and celebrate this great win for TMCC and, you know, hope for and move for some fantastic things that are going to happen on that campus under the new leadership. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Regent Goodman.
Thank you so much. And I really always respect my colleague, Regent Gogachia. But knowing the history of this board, occasionally when things really go awry, I don't feel comfortable voting for this. I feel like we've made a choice, and I'd like to move forward. Also, Regent Del Carlo, you were the chair. You did such incredible work, and I understand you wanting to be on the positive side of this, but I think your sentiment all along has been that these are great candidates. So as much as I would love it to be a unanimous vote, I, however, am not inclined to vote for this. Thank you.
Okay. So there is a motion and a second to reconsider the previous motion. And I see that now Regent Brown has her hand up.
Thank you so much. Regent Brown, for the record. I want to thank Regent Del Carlo for wanting to have a unity vote. I obviously did not vote for this the first time, but I would like to see our board support our president. And I thought Dr. Alexander did a great job, and I think he's going to do an amazing amazing job at TMCC. And I look forward to, you know, celebrating with him as the new president. So I would appreciate also having an opportunity to have a unanimous vote. And I also going to just lean in on my earlier comments. Consistency is super important. Yesterday, there was no problem with wanting to take a recount and a revote and do all this stuff. And today, you have two people who were in opposition asking for an opportunity to be unified with the rest of us. And I'd really appreciate the support from the rest of the regents to allow for that to happen so we can do something as a board together and move forward.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? At this time, I will call for a roll call vote. Carrie?
Chair Carvalho?
Yes.
Regent Del Carlo?
Yes.
Vice Chair Downs is absent. Regent Fernandez?
Yes.
Regent Goicoechea?
Yes.
Regent Goodman?
Yes.
Regent McGrath?
Yes.
Regent Arriscada?
Yes.
Regent Batista?
Yes.
Regent Boylan is absent. Regent Brager?
Yes.
Regent Brooks?
Yes.
Regent Brown?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimously.
And this is Regent Brager. I would like to make a motion, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
I make a motion for Dr. Alexander to be the new president of TMCC.
Thank you.
And the contract to be ratified at the same time.
Thank you.
Second.
And then that was a second from Regent Arriscada. I hate to open it up for discussion, but I will. Seeing none, I will ask for a roll call vote.
Regent Del Carlo.
How about that? Yes.
Vice Chair Downs is absent. Regent Fernandez?
Yes.
Regent Goicoechea?
Yes.
Regent Goodman?
Yes.
Regent McGrath?
Yes.
Regent Arriscada?
Yes.
Regent Batista?
Yes.
Regent Boylan is absent. Regent Brager?
Yes.
Regent Brooks?
Yes.
Regent Brown?
Yes.
Chair Carvalho?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimously.
I would like to ask if Dr. Alexander is somewhere close, if we can invite him back in. Thank you, Melissa.
Hello again. It is a pleasure to be standing before you in this new role, and I want to thank you sincerely for the vote of confidence and the support and the enthusiasm throughout this process. My wife, Carolyn, is jumping in the car to drive to campus right now. It will take a little while, but she'll come soon. I want to pledge once more that I am here for this board, this college, our students, our community, everyone who works here. And my door is open, and the table is round. And I will sit there, and we will work on these issues together. That is my pledge.
Congratulations, Dr. Alexander. Your support here in the audience is a testament to your leadership, and we very much look forward to working with you. I just wanted to give an opportunity to any other regents who would like to give any comments to Dr. Alexander. Yes, go ahead, Regent Fernandez.
Thank you so much, Chair. Dr. Alexander, I've had the privilege of being able to meet with you a few weeks ago and get a tour of the campus. And, I always believe that being part of a board means that we throw our full support move forward with whichever candidate move forward. And my pledge to you, as you keep pledging to us, is that we will support you every step of the way. And we see that faculty, staff, students support you already, and we look forward to the growth that this campus has. And I know that it has not reached its highest height, and I'm looking forward to working with you to ensure that it does. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I know this has been a really long process, but I really look forward to seeing what you can bring to TMCC and the broader community within the North and statewide. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, Regent Fernandez. I appreciate that very much.
Yes, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I, too, want to thank you and congratulate you. This is not an easy process, and I think it's a testament to anybody that goes through it. You certainly have the support of your community. That's been obvious from day one. And I just want to offer to you what I said to some of the other candidates. I don't remember if we talked about this. I still think it's a great idea, even though you're on this campus and have been here part of it for 4 years. It would be great to see you start out with a SWOT analysis and do a climate survey and establish your own base, because culture is really, really important to me. And I know there's always room for lots of improvement. And I think you're going to be an amazing partner with the current president of WNC and the president of UNR, and together for this whole region. I think the three of you as a triangle, you just have an amazing opportunity with the lithium coming ahead and the recycling like at Redwood. And it's just, I can feel your love and passion for this area. And I loved your story coming from Canada, becoming an American citizen legally, loving the West and all the great outdoors. And I'll always remember that a fun dance we had here at TMCC, and I just wish you the best, and I'm here to support you in anything you need. Reno's my hometown, and I love this place, and I look forward to watching you advance this campus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Regent Del Carlo. I truly feel welcomed, and I appreciate those words so much.
Thank you. Yes, Regent Goodman.
Thank you very much, Chair. Dr. Alexander, congratulations. We are very excited to work with you. This is, you've always been so engaging, and I think you're going to just do great work. So I'm very excited for you. And I also did want to say that Dr. Hilgersum was an incredible president. I think she did great work as well. And moving forward, I think she's left you an institution that is thriving with the students and with all of the things that are happening there. I'm very, very excited for you to move into those shoes and do some great work. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Regent Goodman. I really appreciate that. And I concur with you about President Hilgersum's tenure, and we look forward to Friday's celebration.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments from Regents, I will move on to new business. Is there any new business? Please, Regent Del Carlo.
Yes, I'd like for us at a future agenda item to talk about our process on the search committee and the amount of names we bring forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other new business, before I get to public comment, I would just like to say that a hearty congratulations to our fellow regent, Pete Gokachia, for being inducted into the Senate Hall of Fame. Your almost 40 years of public service to the state of Nevada is extremely commendable, and we are proud to have you as part of our ranks. So congratulations.
Thank you, but I'm finding this the toughest job yet. Thank you.
Please share that with fellow legislators and let them know how hard we work here on the Board of Regents. Yes. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge that that smoke was in the papal see, and not up at Tahoe, as some may have misunderstood, that we do have a new pope who's actually from the United States, according to reports. So we wish him the best and hope that he will further world peace and bring our world closer together. So with that, I will move to public comment. I've also been told that GBC has lost their connection. So that being the case, there won't be any public comment from GBC at this time. Is there any public comment at the system office in Las Vegas? Seeing none.
No, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment here at TMCC? Please come forward, state and spell your name, and you have 2 minutes.
It is still morning. Good morning, Regents. Ginger Doe, for the record, J-I-N-G-E-R-D-O-E. I am the current faculty senate chair at Truckee Meadows Community College, and I would like to thank you for your hard work in the search process, for your careful deliberation, to ACCT for bringing forward such excellent candidates, and for listening to all of our voices. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment here at TMCC, SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There's no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. So at this time, I will adjourn this meeting at 10:43 a.m.